Good evening, everybody. James McKenna here with my Science Hour. This is for September 21st, 2023, and sorry I missed last week. It's like it was like one of those times when everything's happening at once. A lot of things, you might say, dumped on me all at the same time. So that's very rare that I miss this show over 23 years. And commercial free, I might add. It's one of the only shows I'm aware of that is commercial free. I pay for my own airtime, and the only income that I get is from when you buy products from my webpage, the JMCC Water Filters webpage, or the J. McCanny Science webpage. Also can get there by going to jmccsci.com. That's the short URL. And from there you can get to the water filter page, the all the other information, the grow towers, which I don't talk about very much. Starting fall here, people would like to grow vegetables. Well, you can do that indoors with a grow tower. And you can get two or three of them. You can get one, sits in the corner of your, you can even buy it with lights, where it will sit in the basement in the corner and grow fantastic vegetables and fruits all winter long. But just go to my webpage, jmccsci.com, for all of that information. So, but like I say, sorry I missed last week. It's just a very rare occasion, but anyway, on with that's life in the big city, as I always say. Tonight I want to talk about Aurora Borealis, because last Monday night, if you had clear skies, if you were in the northern states of the United States, you possibly got a really good light show of the auroras. And so I want to talk about what causes them, that they even make noise. These are high energy particles from the sun that come in from a solar flare, and they ride in following the field lines, the magnetic field lines of Earth, and they concentrate on areas. It's called the ring current. I'll talk about that. And illuminate the upper atmosphere with just fantastic shows of moving. And sometimes they'll stop and they'll just be steady, and then all of a sudden they'll just quickly move around, and caused a lot of speculation, you might say, amongst the natives that lived up in the northern areas. Or they've even been seen as far south as Mexico City when they really get powerful. But the speculation was in Minnesota, where they were seen a lot of times, especially in the wintertime. That means that the North Pole, or the North Pole of Earth, is pointed away from the sun, and the northern hemisphere is in wintertime. The myth was that Babe the Blue Ox and Paul Bunyan, this mythical big giant guy with his blue ox, who was a logger with the old plaid shirt on and logging clothes, and he had an ox that was called Babe. Babe the Blue Ox, and they would be wrestling. They would have a playful wrestling that they would go through up near the North Pole, and all of that activity was reflected off the ice and up into the upper atmosphere, and that's what caused the Aurora Borealis. But the natives had many other speculative concepts, of course, because they didn't understand high energy physics. And attributed these to all kinds of other interesting phenomenon that they used to try and explain the Aurora Borealis, otherwise known as the Northern Lights. Okay, I will be talking. That'll be my main topic, and then I'll be talking about solar physics and Earth physics, the upper atmospheric physics of Earth. Something that you will not see in any published journals, because science, standard science, is all wet on these topics. They kind of got it right. They know that there are high energy particles coming in, but they don't understand the solar wind or how a sun with a core fusion model can create a solar wind. They don't know. They can't explain the solar corona, which is a field of high energy relativistic electrons that surrounds the sun. How do these relativistic electrons stay in orbit around a gravitational sun? Well, it doesn't make any sense at all, of course. So I'll be talking about all of this. Okay, first of all, this is interesting. Now, I've been talking about this topic for years, and of course, this is the whole theme of Velikovsky, is that ancient history is not what you're being taught. And now I wouldn't call it mainstream, but kind of sub-mainstream radio, like, say, Joe Rogan, has these people on talking about how history couldn't possibly be as it should. I have discs that I've been selling for literally decades talking about this topic, that the history that's being taught could not possibly be true. But it's being picked up by people who have good information, sometimes good intentions, but then mix it in with their own kind of baloney, because they're not scientists, they have no knowledge of cosmic events, and they don't understand that big comets come through the solar system and eventually, you know, on occasion, do some damage, different types of damage to Earth, including flooding, including high winds, including tsunamis. The Noah's Flood was a comet event. I talk about this on my 2-CD set, The Physics of Ancient Celestial Disasters. That's a very good composite of lectures that I did, literally a couple decades ago. I've been selling that CD set. It's part of my library set. But my main point here is that recently, like places like CNN, I mean the CIA Candy Nugget News, as I call it, has picked up on this, and even mainstream archaeology has picked up on this, and introducing some really bizarre topics. Here's the latest one. I'll just give you an example. That I think it was yesterday, CNN, the online version, reported that some scientists, some archaeologists, had discovered two logs that were bound together in like Zambia or something with some human-made tools, or clearly something man-made, where two logs were joined together with like a V, like they do with log cabins, you know, how one log sits on the other, and they're locked together because the top one is carved out to sit on the bottom one. And so then they're claiming that this is 500,000 years old. Now, where they come up with that number is pretty bizarre. But what they're trying to do is outdo the people that are talking about these topics, clearly. And then it gets published in Nature magazine. So clearly they've recognized up in the upper ivory tower echelons of Western knowledge, that's what a joke, that their history is all wrong. That, you know, this idea that man crescendoed in the Mesopotamian Valley 7,000 years ago, and all the races of man have evolved from that perspective, that is just total hogwash. It could not possibly be true. Then so they have to come up with some other story. And they're being dominated in the eyes of the public. Like I say, a lot of people listen to Joe Rogan. I don't. I always listen to clips of him. And he's got some guys on there that are pretty good. And then he's got some guys that try to theorize that, a bunch of comets hit Earth 11,000 years ago and caused all this damage all at one time. And very clearly, there were many, many events. It wasn't just one event. And they're trying to put a date on it, which is right off the bat is fallacy, because nobody can put a date on anything. And so the my criticism. In fact, I just wrote a book recently and published it. It's called The Real History of Earth and Man, Myths, Magic, and Mayhem. That book is available actually on Amazon. And in print form, it's available on my webpage in ebook format. But I criticize all of these efforts to extend back in time the real history of man, because what they first, the very first thing they do is try and put a date on it. And so by putting a date on it, they're making the same mistake that standard archaeology had made, trying to put a date on things. And we really don't have the tools, we don't have the knowledge. And I deal with this, I wrestle this with this all the time. For example, I talked about my two CD set, The Physics of Ancient Celestial Disasters. And I talk about dating. Velikovsky seems to be the master of dating relative to the Venus event. That's where Moses led the Israelites, yes, Israelites, very clearly the Hebrew Israelites out of Egypt. And that was during the Venus event, when Venus the comet came by Earth. And that's the thing that Velikovsky concentrated on, and very likely was the cause of the demise of the mastodons, the shifting of the poles, and by about 30 degrees, which left these mastodons in Siberia frozen in the tundra, and thousands of years later being dug out and used as food, being sent back to France as delicacies, and being used as food by the rail crews that were putting in the Trans-Siberian Railway. At any rate, that gets back to this idea of dating. When did these events happen? How did these massive herds of mastodons die standing on all 4 feet, frozen in the tundra, eating temperate climate plants? And at that time, the tundra was kind of like the Great Plains. So these huge thousands, tens, hundreds, millions of these mastodons flash frozen overnight, something that's nearly impossible. So at any rate, now mainstream media is picking up on this, and this article about the log supposedly being 500,000 years old with, I mean, the dating like that is, for somebody to put a date on like that is absolutely absurd of a 500,000 years. There are no tools available to do such dating. Anybody that pretends there is a fool. And so the other issue is then it was published in Nature magazine. Now, Nature magazine is a peer-reviewed journal in England, UK, that is the equivalent of Science in the United States, peer-reviewed journals. And say, for example, when NASA was doing its flybys of Jupiter and Saturn, the Voyager and the Pioneer flybys, this was all published in Science, mainly in Science in the United States. So it's considered like the premier peer-reviewed rag in the United States. And Nature is the equivalent in the United Kingdom. Peer-reviewed, sanctioned, by the way, by none other than the World Bank. And so remember that the Jesuits that run the World Bank are very involved in science and science and misinformation to the public. So they control this, and they really hate when you, the public, starts to get smart about things. So they always control both sides of the dialogue. So this new effort by Standard Archaeology to somehow dive into this area that, oops, nope, history, and right in the article, they say history is not as you've been taught. And then they bring in these articles that are really ridiculous. And so what that's going to do is the backlash. Now, I'm predicting this because I know how all this works. The backlash to this is going to be the archaeological community coming back and saying, oh, that's ridiculous, that's too far out. And then they'll make some kind of compromise, like instead of 7,000 years ago in Mesopotamia, oh, they'll put it out to 8,000 years ago. You see what's going on here. It's the controlled dialogue, and that'll be a big controversy. A big controversy, and then it'll be all handled within the standard mainstream media as if they are discovering this. So you see how they come in and take things over. It's kind of like crypto. Crypto was laughed at. It was like joked about until all of a sudden people started making millions of dollars off of it in exchange. And it started to get big where the common person started to get crypto and started to exchange and maybe even purchase things with crypto. And so eventually the bankers, the same banking cartels, operated out of the Vatican Bank in Rome, which covers the European banks, the UK Bank, and the United States Federal Reserve, and the Bank of China, by the way, all of these, they finally picked up on the crypto thing. And what they did is they said, okay, we got to destroy this thing. So what they did is they came in and they put a lot of money into crypto over maybe a 6 month period. And they ballooned it up and ballooned it up and ballooned it up till where it got up to be really big. And some people were smart enough to cash out. A few people cashed out, but other people were, I wouldn't say greedy, just playing the market, and were watching it grow, and they thought, oh, this is going to continue to grow. Some people were smart enough to get their money out and made millions, literally. But other people did not get their money out, and then one day, crash, Ola, the crypto market went to the basement, and all these people lost their money. And in a sense, they didn't lose their money. They just went back to where they started from. They lost their gain. And so, anyway, it's an example of how they play these systems that come from the public, from the public domain. And crypto is a perfect example. But the same thing is happening in archaeology, where the information that, hey, this history they've been teaching you, and from kindergarten to PhD university level, is all wet. It couldn't possibly be true. And I, like I say, I've been talking about this for literally for decades, well, probably 50 years, and that was one of my main themes too, 1979 to 81 when I was at Cornell, that this, the because of the comet's activity and being recent, that the history of man was affected by these comets. The Noah's comet, the Great Flood, which was not a close flyby where we had gravitational, where there was probably electrical effects that were hidden in the Great Flood, but the Noah's flood was worldwide. And of course, they tried to hide that by saying that, oh no, it was just this dam that broke that caused water to flood into the Mediterranean, what we call the Mediterranean Sea now, and all kinds of other goofy theories that, oh, Noah built this ark down in a valley and then floated up to the top of the next hill, which is ludicrous. If Noah knew that the flood was coming, why would he build an ark so he could just float up to the next hill? He would just take his family and walk up there and build their house on high ground. So, none of their theories. And then they tried to change it from this torrential rain of 40 days and 40 nights to a dam breaking. And it has nothing to do with it, but there again, that's the controlled media to create some kind of absolutely ridiculous counter story and then pump that into the public. Just like, oh, another one, the Christmas star. Every year I talk about how they try and make the Christmas star into a planetary alignment, which it couldn't possibly be. We have planetary alignments two, three a year. of planets lining up and other various things that, star alignments with planets or something, and they only last a couple of hours. The Christmas star lasted for months. Something up in the sky, very unusual, that caught the attention of the three kings, the Magi, coming from completely different countries, people who watched the stars and watched history, and knew that the symbol in the sky, I speculate that it could have been a triple nucleus comet, something so rare that you just it just it would be extremely rare, to the point where these three guys would recognize it. And not only them, but Herod. Remember, Herod knew that the baby had been born. And when the three magi showed up, he goes, "Hey, when you find him, come back and tell me." They all knew. All of the astrologers knew that that symbol in the sky was there and that the baby had been born, the Magi, the Savior, the person who would come out of the ranks of the public and take over the population. And of course, people like Herod and the Roman hierarchy were deathly afraid of this because they believed it. And they went out and literally killed all the firstborn of the males of all of these families, because that was the prediction that it would be the firstborn. They literally sent the soldiers out and killed all the firstborns. And remember, Christ, Joseph was smart enough, he said, "We got to get out of here." So they went to Egypt, and that's where Christ grew up. But anyway, just shows the fear that they have of the public understanding and taking over their power. And that same power structure is still in place today, by the way, in Rome. And so anyway, back to the idea that history is being very much controlled. The history that you see, the history that you read about, the history that's being promulgated in the news media is very controlled, and both sides of the story are very controlled. This story where the log's a half a million years old, I mean, just think about it. How could somebody put a date of a half a million years on logs? I don't think there's any wood on the planet that's going to sustain itself for half a million years. Wood breaks down very quickly. And so you might find some pieces of wood or something, maybe after, a few thousand years. Half a million years, I doubt it. I doubt it. But whole log structures, where are they getting this half a million year date from? Who on earth is promulgating that mythology, but then publishing it in Nature magazine? And so you got to understand that the referee system in Nature magazine, of course, is totally corrupt, and they are invisible. It's just like, let's take another source, Wikipedia, which is the public source of misinformation. Just when you look at any topic related to science or history, Wikipedia is just a bastion of misinformation. Has been for literally since almost since it started. It had about maybe a year of maybe neutrality in terms of baloney, but immediately it was picked up by the CIA and just created this vast information pool of disinformation pool, especially related to science. And it's rather comical because Wikipedia had a page on me for a time, and it was total derogatory. This guy's a pseudoscientist with, on and on, baloney. Of course, by people who never talked to me, never read my work, didn't know anything about it, but derogatory. And then I was getting all of this traffic to my webpage and selling books. And so I wrote a letter to Wikipedia. I said, "Thank you for the derogatory a web page because I'm selling all these books. You're sending all this traffic. Thank you very much. So then they realized that they were doing nothing but supporting me. But remember that the it's like in Hollywood. The movie stars, want some kind of controversy over them, or it could be anything. But if there's a controversy, then they get their name in press, and then they might get a movie. If the more people talk about them, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, then people will know their name, see their name, and want to go see movies. Or it's like Ford used to say, the original Henry Ford. He said, say anything you want about Ford, just say Ford. And the idea is that people will pick up on that. So anyway, Wikipedia was inadvertently sending traffic to my web page. So then they took down the derogatory web page, and now it's simply that I don't exist, which is rather comical because of all of the decades of radio shows I've been on. One of the top guests on, for example, I won't mention names, but very top radio shows, and talking about the science work that I've done on how many dozens of topics of research that I work on, and I don't exist. Anyway, very comical. But anyway, just be aware that you're going to see more of this ludicrous dating of objects in the archaeological world, and this gets into the world of anthropology. Archaeology deals with things you can dig up and physically see. Anthropology deals with more like the history of man going back into that ethereal time when we have no physical evidence of, the history of man. But now what you're going to see, this is going to roll on for a little bit, but then you're going to see the Ivory Tower standard message come back and adjust just a little bit, like I say, maybe from 7,000 years ago to 8,000 years ago, just some little adjustment going, yeah. But man still evolved all by his own without any events coming from outside the earth, and that's what they want to protect you against. They don't want you to know that some events happened outside of Earth. And the reason they don't want you to know is because those are events that clearly they can't control. If the world population woke up one day and saw this big comet in the sky, which they did in the 90s, Hale-Bopp, up in the sky every day, if people knew that that had potential to cause damage on Earth, then the people in power would lose their power because clearly they don't have control over that. They couldn't have a meeting of Congress to try and do something about it. The president could not sign an executive order to do something about it. So at any rate, it's a game of cat and mouse that they're playing. And like I say, in the future, probably I would say within 6 months, the pendulum will swing the other way, and there will be some kind of balance, and it'll be viewed as some kind of major controversy. Okay, so that leads me into another topic that's very similar, a same kind of a control thing where they control the narrative on both sides of the coin for some kind of a effect on you, the public. And this is a very real thing that's going to affect all of your pocketbooks here in the very near future. It probably already is. And this is in the insurance industry. I talked about this probably starting quite a few years ago. I saw it coming. And this is based on so-called climate change, due to you driving your SUV up and down the road, which is, of course, total baloney. But allegedly due to climate change, the weather's getting worse. There's more fires, there's more wind, there's more rain, there's more droughts. Everything bad happens because of climate change. And so anyway, what they started saying at the beginning of the hurricane season, which was last June, they started really pounding on this, and I thought, oh boy, here it comes, that the insurance companies would be going broke. Oh, what a disaster. These companies that have made billions of dollars over the decades are supposedly going broke because they have to pay out on insurance claims of these disasters. Well, in reality, that's not true. They're doing just fine. But the claim is that due to more hurricanes, and they show these cases where somebody's house is blown apart by a hurricane or something, and, you know, blow it up to make it sound like the whole world just died. And so what they're saying is, oh, they having all these losses, the insurance companies are going out of business, so they have to raise your rates. They last June, they announced that over four times the number of houses on the east coast of the United States would be affected by hurricanes, and therefore cause the insurance companies to have greater losses and, of course, make less money. But understand, when you make your, let me talk about money flow in the insurance industry. You make your house insurance payment or your car insurance payment or whatever. The amount that they pay out on these is infinitesimal, like nothing compared to what they pull in. Insurance is the biggest. Look at the people in insurance. Warren Buffett, billionaire, you know, just gets richer with time. I think he started Geico. If maybe I'm wrong about some of the names or associations here. But anyway, the insurance industry is not getting poor. That's a myth. And in the housing industry also, every house is paying, you know, certainly $1,000 or more per year. And what they do with that money now is they invest it into real estate that they then rent out, usually high-end real estate like buildings. If you go to any major city, the biggest building in the city or complex of buildings would be the government center. And sometimes rivaling that, or at least a close second, would be the insurance buildings. And they, you know, they might buy ballparks, they invest in real estate, sports teams, all kinds of investments that bring back more income. And if you had that kind of expendable income, you would be investing in sports teams and real estate, and then they rent it out. So that income has nothing to do with a hurricane in Florida. Those buildings could be in New York City, they could be in New Jersey, they could be in Kansas City, they could be in Los Angeles. But these are typically high-end rental areas, like for doctors and attorneys and dentists and other businesses that need office space. So, that's what they rent out. So that's high-end rental income that is bringing them income every month. So that don't let them make you feel bad that they're losing all this money because a hurricane just rolled into Florida. That's the myth. But you see it on the weather channels. Now, see, here's the twist. The weathermen are now salesmen for the insurance industry, convincing you that, oh, it's terrible. I saw this one woman. She said she was a weather woman. And she goes, I've been in this industry for 12 years. I've never seen it this bad, with all the damage due to storms and wind and stuff on houses. This is not where the insurance companies make their money or lose it. That loss is so insignificant compared to the total income of the insurance company that if you looked on the books, it wouldn't even be like a drop in an ocean. That's how little they lose on a given event. They are just, you know, they make vast amounts of money, but they want you to think that due to climate change, which is caused by you driving your SUV up and down the road, that you're the cause of all of these problems. And therefore, the insurance company has to raise your rates. Not a little, but we're talking 2 to 3 times. So they're more than happy to have disastrous weather which, by the way, is a lot of times is caused by man-made satellite laser storm creation and manipulation. And so, of course, they don't want that. By the way, there's a lot of people running around out there who claim to be weather experts, weather control experts, feeding complete disinformation. And there again, they control both sides of that narrative. I'm not going to mention names, but some of the big names in weather control are totally government funded. They're telling you that there's these radio towers all over and they're beaming energy and causing hurricanes and tornadoes, and it's just garbage. But there again, see, they control the narrative that gets to the public, and they don't want you to know that they're controlling these storms with laser satellites, something that belongs to the military. It's controlled by the military. And so what they do is they create the other side of the story, which then you are forced to listen to, and everybody thinks that these so-called weather experts, they're suing the government on things that, oh, they didn't make enough money off their video. So they're suing the government for more money because they didn't make enough money off their video. This is the kind of goofy stuff that's going on. They're not suing the government over misinformation. They're suing the government because they didn't make enough money off their video. Do you see the game? Oh, it sounds like they're hard hitting out there on radio shows talking about chemtrails and radio waves causing storms, but it's all smoke and mirrors. It's the two sides of the story, and boy, they fool a lot of people, a lot of people, including talk show hosts who are, interviewing them and passing this information on. Anyway, it's crazy. But the expect your house insurance bill, even if you don't live in a high-risk area, and it's all related to climate change. There was this show I just saw about insurance rates going up in California, and they show this one woman who owned a house out in the woods, and all of a sudden she gets a letter saying, "We can't insure you anymore because of fires." Well, it's like, let's look at some fires here. The Maui fire, which if you haven't seen the news, this is very definitely a man-made fire. And it looked like from, without knowing more details, but just knowing the details that we have right now, it looks like they used microwaves, because there were cases where, say, a bolt would be burned out of a piece of wood, and the wood didn't burn. The bolt, and that's microwaves. That's very clearly a microwave result. Where the cars all burned up in the streets, people trying to get out in their car. They didn't want to just burn down the city. They wanted to kill all the people too, because they didn't want this huge human backlash. So then I heard recently, oh, 111 people died in the fire. Oh no, we're talking thousands, potentially tens of thousands of people died in this fire. And there was no water resources available. There were no signals, there were no warnings. Very much a coordinated effort to kill as many people in that area as possible. Same thing where, was it Palisades in California? Was that the name of the place they burned down? The same thing where the houses burned down, the cars burned right next to trees that were not even touched. Then totally a tree standing there with all its leaves on. Completely untouched by fire, and the cars all next to it burn to a crisp to where you touch them and they fall apart, turn to like this gray powder. Absolutely, and that's once again the effect of microwave. So the huge amounts of power that were used to burn these areas out. And with maximum amount of damage and life, killing people, And then, of course, related to, then they say, oh, well, the insurance rate's got to go up. But in a place like Lahaina, most of those people did not have insurance. They had owned their homes, literally, in some cases, the families, for hundreds of years, because Lahaina is an old whaling town. It goes back to when Hawaii was first discovered. Lahaina was one of the first places to be established as a whaling center, because in the winter, the whales, the humpback whales, collectively school out in that region outside the bay, and it was like shooting apples in a barrel. The whales are out there just in huge numbers, and you have this image of whalers as this robust group of men out in the high seas, going after whales. No, and it's in the calm waters of Lahaina Bay, right off the west end of Maui, where all these whales are. And then what they would do is they would take the fat of the whales and on the ships boil it down into oil. And that was used as oil for all kinds of things before there was petroleum. And of course, when petroleum came along, then whale oil went into disuse. But it was used up into the 1900s. Whale oil and the whaling industry. And of course, then the ships got bigger and they could go out into the open ocean following the whale herds, because the whales have to surface very regularly. The whales have to surface to breathe. And so it's just a matter of time. If there's a school of whales, they all surface at the same time and then the ship is out there. Whales are, what do they call that? Where they're, if they're cut, they don't, the blood does not coagulate. Like with humans, if you get cut, it'll form a scab very quickly. It'll actually stop the bleeding, but whales are not that way. And I forget, it begins with H. I'm not thinking of the word right now. I'm sure all of you are trying to say it. Excuse me. But once a whale, a harpoon gets into a whale, it's just a matter of time until it dies. And so they have a rope on the whale that just stays in the harpoon, is meant to stay in the whale. And then when the whale finally weakens and surfaces, then they do the business of extracting the fat layer around the whale and turn it into oil. And so that business, I think, I don't know if anybody even does that anymore in the world. I think that was outlawed to save the whales because they were literally killing them all off. But anyway, back to the idea of Lahaina was an old city. And so these people, especially the native Hawaiians, owned their houses literally for maybe 100 and some years. And now that's all gone in a flash. That's all gone. Okay. Let's see. Just a quick mention on toxic water. As you know, I sell water filters. The MR5 water filter Best Deal package is now on sale, a huge sale. And that's going to end probably early next week. So you have this weekend to put in your order. And it's like literally $1,000 off that package. So it's the MR5 whole house water filter, the ultraviolet final filter, and an extra pack of filter elements for the MR5. And by the way, the ultraviolet filter, it's really a sterilizer, that's a better term, comes with two bulbs, so they last 1 year each. So basically, you get about 2 years of filtration without having to purchase new filters. And for $1,380 is the price right now, and typically the price is like $2,380, and so it's literally $1,000 off for that package, and so that sale is going to go away in a, like I say, after this weekend. The price will go back up to normal. So get there and use that opportunity to have a whole house water filter. And I started talking about toxic water. I ran into some people this past week that were going through like a detox type of thing with their medical advisors, holistic medicine, etc. And they're allergic to many things. But what happens is because of the toxic water, people are in toxic overload, which is a very common thing. So it's a toxic overload, and then they're allergic to all kinds of other things, like say gluten is a common example, where they're anything wheat they cannot eat unless it's gluten free. And so they're constantly looking for food that they can eat. But what's going on is the body is in toxic overload. And here's the deal. When you go into the daily shower, that's where you get the big dose of toxins. And the people I was talking to, they said that they had tested their water. But what they did was they tested for total dissolved solids. That's a common test for water. And people ask me all the time, they say, I bought your filter and it doesn't. The mineral content doesn't change. Well, no, the MR5 is not a water softener. Total dissolved solids, or TDS, refers to the mineral content in the water. And if you get above 400, a reading of 400, then that's pretty high, and it becomes unhealthy to drink that level of mineralized water. But you can shower in it because it just, cakes up your tubes in your house and makes a stain on your bathtub or in your toilet or the sinks, etc. But it really is not harmful to you because those minerals are not absorbed through your skin. But what is absorbed now, these people happen to live out in the country where right in the middle of corn country, and so they are toxic overload with glyphosate from their well. Then say that you're thinking, oh, well, we got a well. It's nice and deep and it should be nice fresh water. Well, no, it's full of glyphosate. And so they're in toxic overload. So what they need is a whole house water filter to clean up the water, and all those other things will probably go away. All those other allergies and all the other problems they're having with, because they'll take away the base load of toxins from the water. And so anyway, it's hard to convince people that the water is the problem. It's the big problem with people, especially women, birthing women, women who are breastfeeding, or kids who are very vulnerable. And so that's why I encourage people to get a whole house water filter. People are still buying the gravity feed water filter elements, and for the gravity water filters, that's those sales are still going on. But the issue is the issue with a gravity filter, it only filters the cold water in the kitchen. So it's like, okay, for cooking or for washing vegetables, you might use filtered water or drinking. But that's really not the issue. The issue is the daily shower. Also, when you wash your clothes, those chemicals get in the clothes, you put the clothes on, and by the way, the chlorine in the water, if you have city water, that chlorine is destroying your clothes. So when you go to dry your clothes, all that lint in the dryer, that's your clothes coming apart because you washed with chlorine in your water. And so anyway, to get all of that out of there, you need a whole house water filter. The filter in the kitchen won't cut it. And so also then when you're showering, you're not showering in that toxic soup that's causing you to be sick. And over long term, that accumulation, that's why a lot of people are sick in this country. Then you go to the doctor and he tries to give you some pills. Well, that's not going to cure your problem either. But you better believe that doctor's going to write you a prescription of something. Last time I went to the doctor was probably about 14 years ago, and related to a job that I had. They said, okay, go get a physical. Okay. And it was just routine, physical. And I go into the doctor's office, and he goes, okay, what's your name? What's your age? He says, what prescription drugs are you on? And I said, none. And he goes, "Don't lie to me. You got to be on some. At your age, you got to be on at least 4 or 5." And I'm like, "No, I'm not on any." So at any rate, he couldn't believe that. He couldn't believe that I was not on any prescription drugs. Because, I mean, that's just everybody has to, elderly over retirement age has to be on at least 4 or 5 in his book. So anyway, back to the original message. The MR5 whole house water filter is on sale. The best deal package is literally $1,000 off. And I'm doing this to basically raise the funds we need for moving into the future. Let's just put it that way. And so go to the webpage mymr5.com. That's the easiest way to get there. It's MYMR, the number 5.com. Yeah? Mymr5.com. Or go to the webpage in general, jmccwaterfilters.com, and go up to the shop products button at the top, and it'll lead you, if you're ordering the gravity water replacement filters, just go there, go to jmccwaterfilters.com, and so anyway, get the water filtration that you need so you have clean water. That's just imperative today. Okay, I'll mention that at the end of the show. So anyway, I started this show by I wanted to talk about Aurora Borealis, and so I'll quick get some information in. So the Northern Lights are a phenomenon where high energy particles come into the atmosphere, and what happens when a charged particle hits a magnetic field, the magnetic field changes the direction of movement of the charged particle. And so the best way for charged particles to come into Earth is following the field lines, because it causes them to bend in, especially around the North and the South Pole, where the concentration of magnetic field lines occurs at the North and the South Pole of Earth. And so that's where they occur. So there's a southern northern, there's the Southern Lights, which is a band of glowing high atmospheric phenomena around the South Pole. And these switch, of course, the winter time is different than the summertime. I won't go into all the physics of that. But I have seen these because I was raised in like North Country. And so the very interesting, you can hear them when they're really raging. When they are really raging, they make a like a hissing sound. And it varies depending as the Northern Lights move. You can hear the sound change, which is very interesting. And that's because it's like literally like a hissing sound that makes the as the charged particles come in. One time I was in the northern woods up in Canada in the daytime, and it was a perfectly blue sky, perfectly blue sky. And there was this noise like it was raining. And the leaves, you could see the leaves. There was not a lot of wind. It was quiet, very quiet. And the leaves would be reacting to like raindrops, but there was no rain. And I realized that it was like the charged particles coming in from the from above, and like the auroras. And so a very strange phenomena that the charged particles would get that far down into the atmosphere. Because typically, excuse me, typically the auroras are very high up into in the atmosphere. Now, Jupiter and the other planets also have auroras. Jupiter, Saturn, especially very strong auroras. And what's interesting on Jupiter is that the nearest of the big moons, the Galilean moons, which we call Galilean moons because they were discovered by Galileo with his little homemade telescope. That's how big and bright they are. And he realized that these moons were in orbit around Jupiter, and therefore Earth was in orbit around the Sun, and Jupiter was in orbit around the Sun. Very major developments. And of course, they kept him, the church kept him sequestered even after he was, as he was dying, not allowing him to talk to the public about his discoveries. And of course, the papal edict was that Earth was the center of the universe, and Galileo was teaching heresy. Amazing, amazing. That's that's still going on today, where the papal see, as it's called, controls information. But back to the Northern Lights, Jupiter and Io have an electrical interaction where Io is acting like a comet. Jupiter, during the Voyager probes, the lead scientist, his name was Brad Smith, I think that was his name, actually published in Science magazine that Jupiter had a proton wind coming up from it. They could actually measure it with the Voyager spacecraft. And of course, he published that in Science magazine, but that's the last time I ever saw anything related to that that actually got published. And that was before they realized what they had to keep quiet from the public, that Jupiter was a small star, it had a proton wind. And I picked up on that and was publishing my work showing that Jupiter was a small star, and that the interaction of Io with Jupiter, which causes an auroral spot that goes around Jupiter, follows Io, the moon. And I should mention that in my book, the Principia Meteorologia, The Physics of Sun-Earth Weather, it sounds like a mouthful, but it's written for the general public and for advanced scientists. Talks about 17 electrical batteries that are surrounding Earth. These are plasma batteries. I call them LBAs, local electrical batteries. And there's 17 of them around Earth that are caused by conditions basically due to Earth's magnetic field and the solar wind. Okay, so anyway, I wish I had a little bit more time to discuss this. I've got about 1 minute left. Just reminding you that you need clean water. The biggest, a lot of people are sick because they're showering in cold, in toxic water every day. And that's why I promote the whole house water filter. Those little shower filters that you buy at the hardware store, the little thing you screw on the shower, they don't work. Let me just tell you that. They might work for about 20 gallons to remove chlorine from your water, so you think that they're doing something, but they're really not. You need a serious whole house water filter. But go to the webpage jmccwaterfilters.com or directly to the MR5 page from mymr5.com. And if you want the grow towers, go to the JMCC SCI page. Gets you to all of the other pages. This is James Fanny. This is my science hour, and as always, we're at the crossroads. Good night.